And I pray, dear people, that it is well with your soul, and you can testify to that this morning. I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter 1, as we look at primarily this morning. We're going to look at several different passages of Scripture, but primarily one particular verse of Scripture. And the outline is in the verse, and the introduction's in the verse, and the conclusion's in the verse, and it's all in the verse. It is important to look at it in little bitty pieces, but it's also important to take it as a whole. And I want to preach this morning, in many ways, what I'm going to call a Thanksgiving sermon. I want to preach in appreciation of Jesus Christ. And when I say Thanksgiving, you say, Brother Monty, it's a long way from November, and so what are you doing talking about Thanksgiving in June? Well, every time we come together to observe the Lord's Supper, in effect, it is a Thanksgiving service. We're thankful that God has made a way when there seemed to be no way. We're thankful that He has provided us with an entrance into the very holy holies in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross for us. We're thankful for His body that was broken for us, for His blood that was poured out for us. We're thankful that that broken body was raised from the dead, and we serve a risen Savior. And I'm thankful also that that very same Jesus shall so come in like manner as He went into heaven. He is coming again, and I'm thankful for that. Very, very thankful. And this passage this morning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says this. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, the King James uses the word meet, but it means it has made us, it has opened for us a door to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us from the kingdom of His dear Son. Now here's verse 14, and this is a verse this has been rolling through my mind all this week. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And dear folks, I'm thankful for that. Now, there's a lot of things I had to be thankful for. I'm thankful to be home. And as much as I enjoy going to Israel and having that wonderful privilege, I'm just thankful to be home. I'm thankful to be in my own bed. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to not be in the Paris airport anymore. And I hope before the Lord to never be in the Paris airport ever again. It was quite an experience. We got there. We were connecting on time and assuming that our luggage is coming along, or our luggage is coming along with us. And so we're expecting it to be there, and they push back, and we sit. And we sit on the tarmac for nearly 4 hours, and finally they offload us on a bus, and we go in, and there's no more flights coming out to Atlanta that day. And so it begins to dawn on us that we're not going to get out of the airport anytime soon. You hear movies about things like this. And so that's where we are. I'm thankful to not be in the Paris airport. I'm thankful for one compassionate Delta employee out of a whole host. I'm thankful for one guy wearing a red coat named Andrew, who had compassion on our plight and helped us stay in a hotel. The hotel rooms weren't any bigger than this communion table, but I am thankful that he helped us get a bed and a place to take a shower. We weren't all in the same room, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that and you may wear evening in Paris cologne. Let me tell you, our cologne was not evening in Paris, I'll tell you that. After we've been up for hours and hours and hours. I am thankful to be out. I am thankful to be back. I am thankful for all of those things. But even as this past week has gone along, it's like God has been speaking my heart out of this. I couldn't even identify where the verse was. But it's in my mind. It's in my heart. It's actually Paul made this statement two different places. He made it in Ephesians chapter 1. He made it in Colossians chapter 1. I had to go to a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance to find this particular verse of Scripture that says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. I am thankful for that this morning. And so I want you to listen to me as I talk about four things I'm thankful for. Number one, I'm thankful for Jesus. And some of you are saying right now, Brother Monty, if you're our pastor and you're not thankful for Jesus, we need another pastor, and that'd be right. You'd say, Preacher, that is a no-brainer to say that you're thankful for Jesus. I mean, everybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ ought to be able to say they are thankful for Jesus, but I am more so this morning than I was even when I left. I'm thankful. Because once again, I've been to the Western Wall. The ladies go to the right and stand at the wall. The men go to the left and they stand at the wall. And the reason the Western Wall is so important, sometimes called the Wailing Wall, so important to the people of Israel, is because it is the closest point to the temple that they can get. The Dome of the Rock, that big mosque, stands up on top of the Temple Mount. The closest place a Jewish person can get, or anybody can get that's not Muslim, is to go to the closest place to pray, is to go to this massive wall that you've all seen pictures of. And this is what you see. You find, here's a prayer folded up and tucked in a rock here, and another one tucked in a crevice here, and another one put in a crack here. You've got a wall that is one massive rock wall, but as high as people can reach, they have put little prayers in cracks. And then we went through what's called the rabbinical tunnel. And there's a place where ladies are praying because, and one lady was standing there and she was weeping and she was praying because this is the closest place that anybody on this earth can get to the Holy of Holies. And my heart says, no, it's not. No, it's not. Let me share with you a verse of Scripture from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, I'm telling you this morning that the Western Wall or the rabbinical tunnel is not the closest I can come to the Holy of Holies. I can come through the blood of Jesus Christ right into His presence. And I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for what He did for me. I'm thankful for who He is. I'm thankful that never a man ever spoke like this man. Never a man ever changed lives like this man. The people hung on every word, and they hung on one who had the power to meet their needs. And the Bible says, in whom? In whom? Well, who is the whom it's talking about? It's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would have you to know, we ought to be thankful for Him. Standing on the Mount of Olives, our Jewish guide Ralph laid out for us the conflict over the city of Jerusalem. There's the Christian view of what went on in Jerusalem. There's the Jewish view of what went on in Jerusalem. There's the Muslim view of what went on in Jerusalem. And, of course, you see it reflected in their lives day after day. And when a Jewish man puts his prayer cloth on and wraps his tallit around his head and enters into his closet, hanging on the very bindings of that prayer cloth are a representation of 613 laws. And when a Muslim prays toward Mecca five times a day, here's what I know. I'm glad I don't have to pray toward Mecca five times a day. I'm glad I don't have to keep 613 laws. I couldn't keep them. I can't keep the 10. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm thankful for Jesus. For it is in Him who came to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die on the cross, be resurrected from the dead, coming back again. I'm thankful today for Jesus. This is what the Word of God says, in whom we have redemption. I'm thankful for Jesus, and I'm thankful for redemption. Now, to be redeemed, it means that we have been held captive, and now someone has paid a price to set us free. Well, there's no doubt in our hearts and minds this morning who it was that paid the price to set us free, and his name is Jesus. It was a tremendous price. It was a dreadful price. But I have redemption. In this building this morning, there are those who are held captive by something. You may be held captive by sin. And so there's that little thing that you did, maybe as a child, maybe as a teenager, that became a habit. The habit became a lifestyle. The lifestyle became a stronghold. And you're held captive. You can take a piece of sewing thread and wrap it around your hands, and you can break that thread. But isn't it amazing how easy it is to take that piece of thread and wrap it around more than once, and all of a sudden when you begin to try to break that thread, it begins to cut into your skin. And wrap it three times or four times, and you can take, let's say, a one-pound test fishing line and do the very same thing. 1 pound would break it. Oh, you could break it easily, but then what about when it's wrapped once, and then when it's wrapped twice, and all of a sudden you find yourself captive? Maybe you're held captive by your past, and you think, I don't see how God could ever forgive me. I don't see how anyone could ever forgive me. I don't see how I could ever be forgiven. Maybe you're held captive by disease this morning. You see, I'm one that believes that the ultimate healer is Jesus. And forgiveness comes through him. Healing comes through him. He who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, whose our chastisement was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I believe in healing. Maybe you're held captive by disease. Maybe you're held captive by death, grief. You say, I don't know about life, and I don't know what to do about what has happened, the whole situation in life, in my life. And yet God's Word says in him we have redemption. And what I find in the life of Jesus was that he showed that over and over and over again. In his home place in Nazareth, this young rabbi who had been gone for just a little while, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, baptized by John in the Jordan River. In his home place, he shows up one Sabbath day and they hand him the scroll to read, and the place he reads, the prophet Isaiah, and the words he reads go something like this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the captive. He has given me these good words, the setting of freedom to those that are bound. He has given me this. This is my responsibility. And he closed it all up, and then he said, this day are these words fulfilled in me. And they knew exactly what he was saying. So they took him out to a precipice on the edge of Nazareth, overlooking the valley of Armageddon, and they were going to throw him down off that. He walked through their midst. But when he walked through their midst, this is what he began to do. He began to illustrate the power that was in Isaiah's words and the power that was resting in him, the power to redeem. Down the road a little bit, there's a little town called Magdala, and there lived a woman in there named Mary. We know her as Mary Magdalene. And oh yeah, her lifestyle and her past was of such a bondage. How could she ever be set free? She could be set free when a Redeemer shows up. He walked into the city of Capernaum, and here's a man that is held captive by his lifestyle. You see, he works for the state government. Woo, can you imagine that? And he's held captive by working for the state government. He's held captive by his boss and his myriad number of bosses. And Jesus looks at this man, Matthew, and says, come follow me. And all of a sudden, Matthew found his life redeemed. Jesus had called some men to come and follow him and to catch men. One of them was named Simon Peter. He went to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house where she was sick with a fever. She said, you might say, well, there's a fever is no big deal. That seems like a minor. If it's your fever, it's a big deal. And so he healed this woman of this fever. She was set free. He was on his way to the synagogue where he was also going to teach. And a man comes running to him and says, would you please come? My little daughter is at the point of death. And he says, sure, I'll go with you. And while he's on his way to heal this man's little daughter, here's a woman with an issue of blood for many, many years. And she reaches out to touch the hem of his garment because she says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she reaches out to do that. And immediately Jesus knows that power has gone out of him into that woman. And that woman is healed. I'm saying this, Mary Magdalene, redeemed by Jesus. Matthew, redeemed by Jesus. Peter, redeemed by Jesus. Peter's mother-in-law, redeemed by Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, redeemed by Jesus. This little girl who dies, Jesus goes in, puts out all the mourners, raises her up from the dead, redeemed by Jesus. And I'm telling you, folks, what he did for others, he will do for you. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for redemption. Then the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, Jesus was a man. We know, not an ordinary man. He had blood, though, flowing in his veins. But Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You can't buy yourself out of the problem you're in. Silver and gold won't do it. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus Christ, foreordained from the foundation of the world. To do what? He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And all the culture and everything in Israel, everything among the Jewish people, points toward the need for a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. And so this weary pilgrim is making his way to the temple, and he wants to do that. And so what's he going to do? What's he going to bring the high priest? He's going to bring the best lamb that he can possibly bring. He's going to go through all the rituals of all the ritual baths and everything else so that he's ready to present himself, but he's going to bring the best sacrifice. And if a poor person's coming, then maybe they'll bring a dove or two doves to present, but they're going to bring some kind of a sacrifice. But let me tell you, there's never been a sacrifice like our Lord Jesus Christ. Never. And it's only by the blood of the Lamb that my sins can be forgiven, that I can be made whole, in whom we have redemption through his blood. I was reminded again this week what a universal truth that is. I think we take this price of blood and what was done for us, and we kind of westernize it, and we kind of Americanize it, and so we had... One day when we were near the pool of Bethesda, I actually think it was a week ago today, although I have no idea for sure. But Bethesda was the pool of seven porches. You read about it in the Bible. And Jesus, there was a man there waiting for the troubling of water, and Jesus touched this man and said, rise, take up your bed and walk, and he was healed. But there's a church there, the acoustics in it are unbelievable. Of course, it's only, you know, about 1,600 years old. And so just a new building. And so, but the acoustics are unbelievable. So our guide took us in there, Church of St. Anne, said, you all need to sing. And I can't even tell you what for sure we sang. I don't remember. But this is what I do know. The group coming in behind us were from Burkina Faso in Africa. And they were dressed not as Westerners, but as Africans. And our guide, who was raised, born and raised in Namibia, also down in Africa, he said, you're going to want to hear this. We didn't know what they were going to sing, but he said, you're going to want to hear this. So we took a seat, and they came in, and they began to sing. Now, it's amazing. You take a song that's written in the United States or written in the United Kingdom, and we've been singing songs like this for years, and we know the words to them, and then all of a sudden, you begin to hear the very same tune sung in a totally different language, and they began to sing a Western song in African apparel. King of my life, I crown thee Lord. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. I thought, I know that song. I look at Bill Palin. He's kind of sitting behind me because Bill was always behind causing trouble. And I looked at Bill behind me, and we began to sing, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. You know, even the very ditches of the holy city were designed to lead the blood away from the city. There was the sacrifice of many, many lambs, and much blood has flowed in Jerusalem down through the years. But I'll tell you something. I'm thankful this morning for his blood. I'm thankful that it's his blood that covers my sin and iniquity. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So here's this. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for his redemption. I am thankful for his blood. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's a whole lot of sin in this old world. There's a whole lot of injustice in our world. And sometimes it's just the idea of the evil of man and how men hate men. It causes someone to shrink back and not come to Christ. Because as a popular argument, an often quoted argument, it is, well, how could a good God ever let that happen? And so this past week, we went to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And it was not a pleasant experience. And it was probably two of the longest yet shortest hours in my life when I began to think, just began with how Hitler rose to power. And of course, anti-Semitism has been in our world for a long time. Folks, listen. It was not the Jew that killed Jesus. It was my sin. I can't cast blame to anybody else. I can't even point a finger at Adam and Eve. It's my sin was enough to put him on the cross. When you begin to consider what people have done to people, their names like Goring and Eichmann and Adolf Hitler and all those. And so there are some people that say, if there is such a thing as a... By the way, there are people in our world today that are denying that there ever was such a thing as a Holocaust where 6 million people went to the gas chambers, bodies burned. So there are people that even deny that. But even that in itself is a tool of the devil. So you stand there and you can ask the question, how could a good God do this? Is he cold-hearted? Is he hard toward it? Does he care? Where is God? I would challenge you today to not look at the evil in this old world. I would challenge you to look at Calvary. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what God did in that he transferred all iniquity of all mankind, of all time, of all age, my iniquity, your sin, all of our sins, they were all laid upon him who went to the cross and died for us. So don't look at the Holocaust, look to Jesus. Don't look at the sin in this world, look to Jesus. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. If you want to have your sins forgiven, you're not going to keep 613 laws to get that done. You're not going to pray to Mecca to get that done. You're not going to be a good husband or a good wife or good mother or good father to get that done. You're not going to get it done by being a good employee at your work. You're not going to get it done by saying, well, you know, I'm a good moral person. And look what I give to the church. And look how often I read the Bible. And look how often I attend. You're not going to get it done through religion. You're not going to get it done through morals. You're not going to get it done through heritage. And it's not going to be done because of your blue blood. It is only done through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So am I thankful this morning? You better believe I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Jesus who came to die and rise from the dead. I am thankful for redemption that is through him. I am thankful for the very blood of Jesus that was poured out for my redemption. And I am thankful that today I can stand before you as one who is forgiven. And the devil can't do anything about that, and no one else can do anything about that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I can come into the Holy of Holies. Woo! What are you going to do about it? You say, what do you mean, Brother Monty? What are you going to do about it? Because every place in the Word of God where the gospel is laid out, it demands a response. You say, well, I haven't done anything, so therefore, since I haven't done anything, then that means I'm all right. I'm not too bad a guy. No. I'm just going to drift along. I heard the parable of a guy that is in the Niagara River, and he's in a rowboat. I'm not crazy enough to get in the Niagara River in a rowboat. I don't want to get in the Missouri River in a rowboat. And so he's in a rowboat, and he's sitting there. And, of course, the thunder of the falls, there's a point of no return where there's no turnaround. You know that. And so the thunder of the falls heard in the distance, and he's in a rowboat with his arms folded. Somebody said, you better move. You better do something. He said, well, I'm not doing anything. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not doing anything. There's some of you this morning that would say, well, I'm not doing anything. I don't have anything to worry about. Yet destruction is ahead. Jesus who paid it all, Jesus who redeemed us, Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He is calling on us. Paul, when he witnessed to Agrippa and to Felix, he said, you got to do something about this. And that was always the way. When he was before the Philippian jailer, this Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Folks, here is redemption, and it is through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. But you must call on him. You must ask him. And you can't just sit there in your seat because there's a thunder of destruction out there ahead of you. But it doesn't have to be that way because Jesus has already taken the punishment by dying on a cross for us. And he wants to give you life today. So it demands love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, in the words of Isaac Watts. Yeah. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. And I simply ask you again, what are you going to do about it? To do nothing is to do something. But what are you going to do about it when he has called you to accept his free gift of redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, and it is available to every person, either in this building or under the sound of my voice? Because last week, 6,000 or 7,000 miles away from here, we got to listen to Brother John. It's an amazing thing what's going on in our world. So today, you can say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe in your blood that covers my sins, and I want to be redeemed, and you can be redeemed this morning. Will you come to him? Maybe you've drifted so far away and so your heart's grown cold and you also are held captive by sin. But our Lord, who walked the streets and the villages, constantly calling people out, is calling you out today. Time for change. May your heart be changed. What will you say to Jesus? And Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you that it is through your blood that we can have forgiveness, the redemption that is ours through the power of the Lamb of God. And Lord, today, would you speak to hearts? Would you draw those who need Christ to come to you this morning? And for those this morning that are in many different situations, sometimes it's about straightening up and flying right, then Lord, there may be someone this morning that today can get a brand new start through the blood of the Lamb. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.